Hey everyone, welcome to Past Lives and the Divine. I'm Gina, the host of this podcast, where we dig deep in conversations around past lives and the divine. And in today's episode, I'm interviewing an animal communicator. Her name is Chris Scanlon. Of course, all of her information is linked in the show notes, so go check her out. Chris's official bio says that she loves working with both humans and animals alike. And as her client, I agree. That's what it feels like on the client end. She's a professional animal communicator, body talk practitioner, and access consciousness bars practitioner. She's located in the Twin Cities and has been doing that work ever since 2008. And Chris really breaks through barriers between the animal and the human world. And this helps us all to create a deeper awareness of what we all need to coexist on the planet, and not just to like have the connection, understand the connection, but be the connection. She's really like the bringer of the voice for the animals. So I'm excited for you to listen to this conversation. And if you have any follow-up questions for me or Chris, definitely hit respond to one of my emails on my email list. And who knows, maybe she'll be back again. Maybe we'll have another session where she can answer some questions. But she is so fun to listen to. Every time I talk to Chris, I come away with more wisdom than I thought I would. And I also come away with more things to think about. And then that leads to even more questions, which y'all know I love a good question. I love talking about things. So her website is talkpositive.com. And all of her links are in the show notes in your podcast app. This conversation, I was looking forward to it for so long, and it was just like, it just never came up on the editorial calendar. And then I had a session with Chris recently and was like, hey, lady, you want to be on the podcast and have a conversation? And she said, yes. So one of the things that we talk about, of course, is her, and we dive a little bit into her gifts. She was actually grew up as a child, was really afraid of animals in general. So how she kind of harnessed that, how she got introduced to it. She talks a little bit about how she works with clients, of course, and even sharing some tips, some things to keep in mind for the average person who wants to have better communication or more communication with their pets or the animals in the world around them. So, you know, just like me, Chris believes that we all have the ability to do it. It's just, how does that work for us? And then learning how that works and just getting even better at it. If you think of someone while you're listening to this, I would be so thankful to you if you forward it to that person just to make sure that they don't miss it, especially if they're kind of not so about their pets like me. Okay, everybody, gather around the fire for our conversation with animal communicator Chris Scanlon. Hey everyone, I am here with Chris Scanlon, pet communicator. Like I mentioned in the intro, you can find all her links and all of the good stuff for contacting her and just seeing what she's up to in the show notes. So Chris, welcome. Do you want to describe in your own words a little bit about like what you do, what your gifts are in terms of animal communication?
I can try. It's different for every person that I talk with. And as you know, and I never know what's going to come up in a session. It could be simple things like, well, actually, it's never simple. And that's a lie. it's rarely like short cliff note versions of what's happening with an animal. Like, you know, yeah, I'm not happy that there's a change in the household. There's usually a whole lot of other things going on that us humans don't even think about. Because they do have fairies. They see elves. They see dragons. They see, I had one person call me and there is a troll that was guarding this room in their house. And she's like, I have a what? You know, so
no kidding.
Kept fighting the troll and she couldn't figure out why this, you know, the cat kept hissing at this door. and it was to the reptile room. So of course everybody's like, oh, it doesn't like the smell. And it, and I'm like, yeah, that's not it.
Whoa.
That's not why they're upset with it, you know? So she did some clearing with rocks, or I shouldn't say rocks, with crystals and stones. And, you know, fortunately she was open to that and hasn't had a problem since. But, you know, things like that come up and I have no idea. I don't, a lot of times I don't even know if the person is open to those kinds of things. So it can get a little dicey for me when the animal is talking about this and I'm going, you want me to say what? So there, on the flip side to that, there are other situations where it becomes soul hitting is the only way I can really describe it, in that that animal will truly hit you at your soul and your heart and get right to the point of matters if you're looking for deeper answers to things going on in your life. Or some animals don't care. Some animals, you know, it's kind of like humans, right? We have different levels in our humanness, and different people around us, they don't care about going deeper into their lives, and other people want to dive as deep as they can. Animals are the same way. Some really do not care, and some will look at you and give you heart hitting messages and soul hitting messages. And my favorites to go to for that are more of the wild animals.
Yes.
Because they're connected to the consciousness. And so are the domestic ones are too. Don't get me wrong. They can just get mired more into the human aspect of things than the wild ones.
Okay. Yes. So you run or have run and will be running some pretty cool classes with the zoo. And I want to talk more about that. I want to talk more about elementals, just any information that you have from your knowledge or experience. But before we get into that, can you, like, Chris, when you were younger, did you talk to animals? Was that like encouraged in your house? Did you discover this later? Do you understand this gift?
I didn't even know what it was. I actually was afraid of animals. I was petrified, actually, of most of them. The only one I really was okay with a little bit were dogs, because most of the time they want to make their person happy, right? So they obeyed commands. And that was fun as a kid. But cats, unpredictable. They scratch you. They hurt. They're, you know, nope, I wasn't going near that. Horses, there is no way I was going near a horse. They're massive, you know? Yeah. And actually through animal communication, a class in Rugby, North Dakota, with a big horse, they named him Big Al, and he hated it because he didn't like being called big. Animals are sensitive about that, by the way. He just wanted to be called Al. And I was still a little hesitant around them, even though I communicated with him, but he's like, okay, you need to get over your fear of us. And I'm like, okay. And he said, come up near me. And then what he did was he turned his neck around and gave me a hug.
Oh.
And he's like, you okay now? And I'm like, kind of, you know, it took a little bit, but no, as a kid, I was petrified of them. Although I was still also very imaginative and creative, I guess, in my thinking. I've never been one to think inside the box, which as a kid, that's devastating. You know, it's okay, I didn't think of that answer, and that's what everybody else thought of, right? I'm always outside the box type things.
Yeah, I can see that.
I grew up in North Dakota, so there's plenty of snow in the winter. And I'd walk home from school and I would think that the little crystal, you know, the sparklies in the snow were towns, that was fairy towns and elves and gnomes and whatnot. And that if I stepped on there on the sparkly lights, it was crushing their town. So I would apologize walking home if I had to step on there. So, you know, it goes both ways, but no, as a kid, I was scared of them. I didn't want to get hurt.
So when did you start to, I guess, understand that you could sense more from animals than most people?
Animals tended to like me. I guess I didn't really realize that though until I was an adult, maybe within the last 10 years, 15 years, maybe. I really started to, so I got a really good connection with my one cat, my very first cat, Max. But I didn't know animal communication at times. I just knew that we had a bond. And she didn't start out as my cat. She was my sister's cat. What was funny is I was given a puppy for my birthday and my sister was given a kitten. And what happened eventually is they switched. The dog picked her and the cat picked me. So, but Max was always by my side. It was always, you know, like I went into a deep depression for probably a good year after she died.
Yeah.
So, you know, grief doesn't end.
Yeah.
That's a whole nother show rabbit hole, but
yeah, that's true. Just,
you know, and in the meantime, after she died, and there's an interesting experience. I'm just remembering it. She was in the ICU, it was at the end, and she was in the ICU at the U of M, and I was taking a shower and I heard her cry out in a meow. And I'm in the shower, right? And I'm like, she's at the U of M. How could I possibly have heard that? But as soon as I got out, I called the U of M. It was like at midnight. They knew me already because I was the crazy cat mom checking in on Max. Later that night, she was put in an oxygen tank, an oxygen kennel. And then the next day she arrested I did not know you could do CPR on animals, but they lost her twice before I got there. And now I know that was her letting me know, you know, what was happening. But yeah, you know, and then I got Callie, who's no longer with me either, but I had a hard time bonding with her because I felt like I was cheating on Max.
Yes. Yeah.
Yep. I was cheating on Max. And how can I love this kitten so much and not honor Max, right?
Yeah.
I found out later through communication, Max is actually bullying Callie from the other side, but which was an interesting thing because that's when I learned about it. My sister's cat went missing. And when she called and said, I talked to an animal communicator and she told me Oscar is fine and not in any more pain. And I'm like, yeah, you could have paid me. I could have told you the same thing.
Oh.
You know, I thought she was a little off her rocker, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. This communicator talked to the cat that's not around. Okay. You know?
Yeah. I got the same message. Big deal.
Yeah. Big deal. It's kind of generic. Right. And of course, in the spirit of sibling rivalry, she's like, fine, I'll prove you wrong, you know?
Yeah.
So she paid for a communication session with Max. And I'm like, uh-huh. Yeah, now you're going to talk to a dead cat. Uh-huh. Sure. Whatever. Yeah, my mom called me like about a week later. And I was driving home from work. I remember it perfectly in a snowstorm. And I had to pull over because the information she got was so specific. That my mom wouldn't have known. She's in North Dakota. My sister was in Seattle and mm-hmm. I'm in Coon Rapids. So how would she know? Right. And she just was so specific. There is no question that it was real, but then I had to grieve the loss all over again. So,
that like? Can you say more about that? Just what that, because that must have hit you on a level of like, whoa, she is close.
Yeah.
Or what was that like? Or what were kind of the thoughts there?
Well, because so she's in spirit. So, and she was a bossy cat, which was true. And she had been bossing Callie around. Callie was very, very affectionate. And I really wanted a cat that slept with me at night because that's what Max did. She would come and she would curl up in the crook of my arm on the left side of my bed. I even had a blanket there and whatnot. And, you know, I wanted Callie to do the same. And she would snuggle up until a certain time at night. And then she'd go no joke, as far away from that corner of the bed as she could go. King size bed, kitty quarter. She wouldn't sleep anywhere near that corner. And what I found out was Max was telling her that's her place. So she couldn't sleep there. And it was like, in some ways, it was like losing her all over again. Yeah. I mean, I had to be like, okay, you can't do this. You know, Callie, you're here now. And Max, you had your place, you know. And I love that you're still here. But you got to let Callie take her place too. And after that, Callie slept right by me every single night. So, you know, clearly that talk worked. But
yeah. Well, Chris, I remember our first phone call. Mm-hmm. I was asking about Tula because we had just got Tula. We lived in a condo downtown and Tula was like afraid of, I mean, everything down there. And there's constant construction in that neighborhood. But one of the things that, and I called to be like, what, is there something else? Can I do anything that I'm not doing? And you said that my previous dog, Lil, she was a little miniature dachshund, was bossing her around. Mm-hmm. And that was, that actually, and you told me like, say these things to her, to Lil, and say these things to Tula. And it eased it for sure. I mean, the loudness of that neighborhood was really a problem for her, but it, like just the way she acted in the condo changed, which I thought was so cool. That's when I was like, this Chris Scanlon need regular phone calls.
And I never know how that's going to turn out. I just, you know, I give the info and I, okay, hope it works.
you know? And this is okay. So I was taking notes while you were talking, because in true conversation with you format, you say something and I have so many questions. So you had mentioned Big Al and you were like, animals are sensitive to that, or being called big or little or whatever. Can you talk more about that?
A lot of people don't realize that when they name an animal, they'll embody that name. Or, you know, when you call your cat fat or your dog fat, they take that on. It's stressful for them because there's some self-esteem issues that go on with animals. They have their journey just like we do. Mm. They're used to us not listening and not paying attention. So they're kind of like, they tune us out too sometimes, but those things they are very sensitive to. Some of them will carry it like a badge. Other ones like Callie, she was very fluffy, but once you took the hair off, she was super, you know, she was thin, but people would always be like, oh my God, she's so fat. And she'd be like, Mom, am I, and she would stop eating for a couple of days. And I'm like, no, we're not going down that path. So, people need to be super careful. Like they think it's so cute to name their animals like Mischief or, you know, whatever it is, Spunky. Well, guess what? They're going to live up to that name. And then they complain when they have issues later. Right.
So we should name them like Calm Down.
Right. No. Yeah.
Relax.
And it's not to say that all animals have that. Like I know someone who named their cat Chicken Shit and the cat's fine with it. But unless you do communication with them, you don't know that.
Yeah.
And there are some, I also read in another cat that she had like 5 names for herself because she's a cat. She can do that. You know?
So the sensitive thing, that's so interesting that you brought that up. I didn't really even think of this when I was asking the question. But Roxanne is, I called you last year when we were fostering her and you were like, no, this is your dog. And I was like, I knew it. but she was like dangerously skinny, like starving to death when we got her. Yep. And we just like kind of free feed them. They eat enough. But one of the things, and you and I talked about this recently, actually, and I was just like, I just hate it when people call, when the vet's like, she's overweight, you're going to start counting calories. And first of all, I'm just being in the wellness industry, I'm not sold that being overweight is like the gateway to every bad thing that could happen right. to us. Like the wellness right. industry wants us to believe. And right. I think we're all just built differently. Like some people can yeah. get on that BMI scale and fit in it. Yeah. But especially for a dog like Roxanne, who walks, like easily walks 8 miles a day. She doesn't eat a ton. Like there's food in the dish when she leaves it. And mm-hmm. so just even this morning, we were at the vet for her annual checkup and it was like, oh, she's a little overweight. And I just kindly was like, okay, we're not worrying about that. Like, yeah. I'm never going to count my calories yeah. again. She's never going to count her calories. And then the vet said something like, well, yeah, she does have this little tuck in her waist, so she's doing okay. And then she goes, but if it were to get, you know, rounded here, we'd have to intervene. And I, in my mind, and I feel like Roxanne and I were just like, intervene? No, yeah. we will go to another vet. You will not yep. intervene. What does that even mean?
Yeah. Yep. And you know, vets, I get, I have a, actually I met her cause she did she does animal acupuncture and she's fantastic in yeah. the Twin Cities. Deb Allerhand is amazing. Okay. She does acupuncture for animals and she does laser therapy for animals. And she's also a vet. And she's like, you know, do you know how much classroom work we get with diet? None. She's like, we get like 2 hours, you know?
Yeah.
She said, we don't get a lot of studying with diet. And like, I was concerned about Fizgig's teeth. And she, cause you know, you read all about their teeth affect their heart and blah, blah, blah. Yep. And she looked at me and she said, studies have shown that's not the case.
Wow.
She's able to, I love her because she's down to earth and she's actually not overboard with anything, you know?
Yeah. I feel like, just the human obsession with the way we look and do we yep. fit into these certain parameters is yep.
animals
just yeah. the same with them. And I can feel that when you said they're sensitive to that, I can feel that in Roxanne. And yep. even sometimes she'll walk by a food dish and like stop and just look at it. And then she'll look at me yep. and I'm like, if you're yep. hungry, eat. Like, yep. I think you're amazing no matter what. And all yep. I want you to do is enjoy the food that you eat. That's it.
Yeah.
And then she'll eat or she'll walk away. And it's like, oh my God, is she absorbing these messages that these people are saying to her? Just
absolutely. And they absorb yeah. that you're stupid animal or, you know, how could you do that? People really project a lot of their own crap on an animal is usually just being an animal. You know, yes, you can mitigate some things through animal communication. Don't get me wrong, but some of it, it's just ingrained in them. You know, if you don't want your slippers chewed up, don't leave them on the floor.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you don't want food taken off the table and you know that your dog is a surfer, don't do it. Mm-hmm. You know, it sucks. Yeah. Trust me. It sucks. I have a cat and I'm like, you're on the wrong side of the counter. You know, it's, we've negotiated. He can be on one side where the dishwasher is, but he can't be on the other side where I prep food. I'm like, you're on the wrong side. Get down. And he does. He gets down. But, yeah. you know, I really, just like we need to be very aware of how we say things to children or to each other, it's no different than with an animal.
Yeah.
You know, oh my gosh, you're so stupid. You know, how many times you're like, oh, you stupid dog.
Never. I would never say that.
But you don't say that. But how many times do you hear that from other people? You know, they'll
yeah.
say that.
Oh, I just, ever since I was, as far back as I can remember, I've been sensitive to dogs, especially. Maybe it's all animals, mm-hmm. but I'm just around dogs. But yeah. And even just, I can think of people, you know, like in my extended family, yeah. cousins, whatever. And I just remember always being really sensitive to how they treated their dogs if it wasn't very good. And just like, yep. oh, it would just tear me up.
Even going okay. for walks and you see people get really frustrated because a dog isn't walking exactly how they want. They're not meant to. You know, they're not, don't yes. hold the leash so tight that they can't walk properly, and also pay attention, stop, get off your phone. And I, you know, it drives me nuts when it's super hot out and they want to be on the grass and they keep pulling them to them. Like, dude, yeah. that asphalt, you know, put your own hand on the asphalt. And if it's hot to you, it's hot to them. That's their skin.
Yeah. Yeah.
They don't have shoes.
Yeah. That was something that, I think it was when we got Milton, our coonhound. You know, he obviously loves this. I mean, all dogs like to sniff, but he really, yeah. really loves it. And that was one of the things, I had never even thought about it. I guess I had such a, Lil was a beautiful, amazing soul, also quite a yeah. fucking handful for 15 years. So, you know, three near puppies for the last year has been easier than it was like living with her and managing her chewing and all that stuff. Right. But, so one of the things our trainer that we were working with said to the class, which I thought was so good and something I had never thought about before, where she was like, it was to the effect of like, here's how you get them to walk by your side, but only do this if you're like at the flower shop or the coffee shop. Yeah. Like when you're on a walk, whose walk is it? And I do ask that question a lot. And sometimes it is my walk, Milton. So we're walking, but a lot of times it's his walk, you know, yeah. or we have to like balance that. And I thought that was just such, it was just such a different way, simple shift in perspective that can really change it. Cause I think a lot of times as someone who had a really aggressive dog, mm-hmm. I think a lot of, you know, we kind of take it personally, like, oh, I'm failing yep. at raising this dog. And right. I think that would always like add to my anxiety when I was, you know, in a hot situation with her and other dogs or other people.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So that was one of the things that I wanted to talk to you about, was even just picking up on these messages
yeah.
from our pets. And I guess my other question too, is like, when I say pets, I think of dogs and cats, but mm-hmm. I'm assuming this stuff works with like lizards and
mm-hmm.
yeah.
And,
okay.
And spiders and bees and ants and
well, all of
mice
it.
And oh yeah. Any critter. So yeah. Yep.
Okay. So Chris, Alex and I grew up killing every insect I saw. And Alex thinks that's completely inhumane, which I am getting to that side of the spectrum. But these spiders, like I'm just kind of, I think, aggressive in some areas of my life anyway, but I'm like, you can live here, but I don't want to see you. And mm-hmm. so it's so funny that like, I really do get the feeling. So there's this one spider that I call Jumpy who lives in the kitchen. And yeah. I really do feel like he's like, sorry, I didn't know you were coming.
Yep. Like, yep.
Scurry away.
They do. They totally do. In my animal communication class I took, you know, mind you, I was skeptical in the first place. Right.
Yeah.
And then I go to this class. It's a 2-day class, two half days. And I'm like, okay, fine. My sister told me to go. And I'm like, okay, the, you know, crazy sister, whatever, which she's not, but you know, and the first day was all about human telepathy, which I did not get. I didn't get how to do this in the very beginning. So for those of you listening that think, oh, I would love to be able to do it, but I won't ever be able to. Yeah, you can. Cause I was the worst. I was the worst at it the first day. So and then the teacher talked me into coming back the next day, and I'm like, fine, you know, whatever. But the next day was with animals, and that hit in pretty quickly. And she talked about how she ran her class was you were to go home that night and do the grounding exercise and tune into the animals in your household, open yourself up to them, and ask if any one of them would like to come to class with you, right? See if any of them showed up for you, and then ask them if they want to go to class. Well, she talked about one guy brought his, not this particular class, but another class she had, a guy brought his hissing cockroach. And we're all like, ew. She said, no. Wow. She said, this hissing cockroach is like a stand-up comedian. He was cracking jokes left and right. I'm like, huh. So when we had a spider, I swear it was like a spider infestation. It was horrible. I finally stopped, talked to a spider, and I did everything. I introduced myself. I said, "Hi, my name is Chris." And I heard, "Hi, my name is Mr. Moof." I literally had that pause. I'm like, okay, now what? You know? And yeah. The thing she taught was respect at all times and do not lie to them. So don't try to be like, "Oh, you're so awesome." They know better. They know what you feel. So be honest with them. And so I said to, and she had also talked about, she had slugs in her garden and she talked to the slugs and they negotiated. So they stayed out of her garden. She gave them scraps of food and they actually helped her garden grow, right? Because they can do that.
Huh.
So I'm like,
say more about that. I know that's a total tangent, but is it like a slug fairy or what is that?
No, I mean, it's part of the ecosystem, you know?
Okay.
They help keep other things out of the garden that would eat whatever would be in there. But, you know, slugs eat a lot too. So
yeah. They
stayed out of her garden and it grew. And she would leave little bits on the corners of her garden so the slugs could eat those things, you know. So they still got garden food, but not in her garden.
Yeah.
And she negotiated that. It took some negotiation. So you got to be prepared. You're not going to get everything you want. So when I talked to Mr. Moof, I looked at him and I said, "Look, I really think your webs are super awesome and you kill things, bugs that I don't ever see. And I'm grateful for that. You keep me from seeing them. At the same time, you really creep me out." And he goes, "Yeah, we do that to people." Very nonchalant, like, "Yep, yeah. I already know that," you know? I'm like, okay. So we just negotiated. I said, "I appreciate the work you do. I'm not banning any spiders. I can't have so many in the house all the time. And, you know, getting bit is not fun. So can we come to an agreement?" And we ended up agreeing that they would live out in the garage. There could be, if I saw any, they'd be in the basement, right? They were to stay out of my bedroom, no more than 2 feet down from the ceiling. And I would not kill them, but I would not take responsibility for, you know, the two dogs, two cats, and my now ex-husband. So, you know, he's like, fair enough. Now keep in mind, spiders, they are not community creatures. So he could have not, the spiders didn't have to listen to him. You know, they're not all for one for all, you know?
Yeah.
I honest to God did not see a single spider for like 6 months.
Wow.
And then I had a rogue little white one that came down on a picture and I walked by it and I looked at it and I said, "You're not supposed to be down this low." And I swear to God, he did that Karate Kid pose.
Like the kicking. Oh, like yeah. The one with the knee up.
Yeah. He lifted two of his legs and stayed in that pose. And I'm like, "Dude, I'm not messing with you. I'm going to go to a movie and I expect that you'll be gone when I come back. That gives you 2 hours to get your butt out of the living room off of this picture, right? That's sitting on the couch." I came back. He was still there. I put him outside. And what I heard was, I said, "Hey, Mr. Moof." And he's like, "I don't have to listen to Mr. Moof." He had an accent. It was like, I'm going, "Okay, little ninja." You know, I'm like, "No." So Mr. Moof is not my boss. I'm like, "Okay, fine." So I put him out on the deck. I didn't kill him, you know?
Yeah.
But the next day I woke up with like 8 spider bites on my head. And I was done. I was pissed. So I got lemongrass spray and sprayed the crap out of my bedroom, which not good for cats. Cats cannot process citrus. But yeah, I was mad.
Oh, so did that work to keep them away?
Yeah, that worked. Yeah. You're not my boss. I'm like, okay.
Oh, okay. So how, Chris, in your, and I know you say you haven't really like officially capital R researched this, but in your skills and in your mind, in your heart, intuition, can you tell me about like the, and I don't even know if this is the right word, but like elementals, fairies, dragons, trolls, gnomes, etc. Like, what can you share about that?
I mean, that they exist and, you know, we can all coexist together. If we're connected, if you're connected to the earth, you can be connected to them. And they all play their roles as well.
What are those roles?
That's a good question.
Is this something you know?
It's not. You know, I don't know for sure. I have other friends that are more well-versed in that world. I've always seen elves as protective. They're like the protectors of the trees. You know, I don't see elves in the plains. I see them in the trees. Fairies are more animals and nature. And then you have your sprites, which are like fairies, right? They're water. Mm. You have, I don't know much about trolls at all, other than the one that was in front of that door.
So could you, like, are you able to pick up on, so for example, say we were in a session, would you be able to pick up on what is going around on in my yard or the area that I'm in? You know what I'm saying? Like if someone said, oh, something keeps happening in my yard or, are you able, cause you've said a few things to me, like about Roxanne's new fairy that she got. And so like, how have you seen that affect like the clients that you have? Like, what are some of the questions or things that have come in or interesting stories about that?
I mean, it goes in waves. You know, I've had a couple people come in that they have dragons. They're kids. A lot of times their kids are, they'll see fairies. Or, you know, they have their dragons that they want to play with, or they need, it's like they know they're there, but they don't know what they are. It's, you know, they have a sense about something. Kids especially are very sensitive to that, but they can't always put their finger or define what it is that they know, that they know. They just know there's something. Mm. There.
Okay.
I have one friend that she's kind of gotten out of it over COVID, but, you know, she's very well-versed with dragons and how to meet your dragon. You know, she can do that. She's taught, you know, she's has, I think, 7 or 9 dragons. So
is the thought we have a personal dragon or we can have like personal fairies?
Oh yeah. They're connected to, a lot of times they're connected with you. I wouldn't say we have that, you know, they don't belong to us. They choose us.
Oh, thank you for saying that. Yes.
Yeah. We don't own anything. We don't even really, as much as I hate to say it, we don't own the animal either.
I agree with that. Like, I hate it when it's like, are you the owner? It's like, well, I'm more like a guardian best friend, but yeah.
Sure. Well, I mean, I'm the mom, you know, I'm Fizz's mom. I'm Simon's mom and I'm going to stick with that.
Yeah.
I'm their person, you know, I don't get wrapped up in that political correctness stuff, but
yeah.
And they're fine with that. They know I get weird with it, you know, oh, mama loves you, you know,
yeah.
Just kind of roll their eyes, whatever. but yeah, I mean, sometimes I can pick up on that. Not always, but a lot of times if it's part of what's going on, absolutely. They'll let themselves be seen. Mm. I think it's a matter too of how open and clear you are when you're working with it. And like in a class, you never know what's going to show up. So I had one class where we talked to ticks.
What?
Yeah.
What did they say?
That ticks are about being aware and, they choose some people more than others. we were so in the zone at that point. I have to remember what it was. They're not to be looked at as bad things, because we're like, what is your purpose?
Yeah.
You know, we're going, yeah, spiders I can handle, ticks not so much, right? Mm-hmm. And the thing with Lyme disease, again, you know, not everybody's going to get it. And they kind of choose that for the path of that person, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. So you talk, you and I have talked a little bit about your classes, but I don't know much besides what's on your website. So I am really interested in like stories about whether, I guess it's through your classes or not. I know you take classes to the zoo, but what do you like, what stands out in terms of like common themes of messages that you get from animals, common themes that, I don't know, that they think of us, or what are some, I guess, I think it's just wild to talk to wild animals. I believe it can happen, but what do they have to say? What are they up to?
Depends on what you, it depends on what you ask them. on my Facebook, I think it is, I have some videos about, you know, when I went a few years ago, I used to make regular trips to Como Zoo, especially. I also took, I'm from Bismarck, North Dakota, and they have a zoo down there. So I went there. I was also at a wolf sanctuary in Florida that I don't have any videos of, but I have pictures of it. And that was for an animal communication class, but, you know, they're smart. They're so smart. People get so sad going to a zoo, and I'm like, why are you sad? You know, like
I am that person, like, to help me.
Stop pitying them. You know, what you're picking up is on people's projections, not on the animals. There are some animals that don't like to be there. I always think of the gorilla at Como. Yeah. The monkeys are not my favorite. I don't want to say they're jerks, because they're not exactly jerks, but I don't know. They're just not my favorite. But I'm always drawn to the giraffes and the lion, which I don't think Mufasa is there anymore. And the lions and the tigers and the polar bears are fun.
Go ahead.
Yeah, no, go ahead.
Was going to the zoo a part of your... Was that something that you did like when you were trying to sharpen your skills, or did you go there for a class as a participant, or were you there and you were like, hey,
no, I always loved, as a kid, as we go back to that, as I loved the zoo. I loved going to the zoo. I loved seeing the animals. I just loved it. I don't know if it was because they were in cages and I didn't feel threatened by them, but I loved the zoo. It wasn't until, I don't know, maybe about 5-6 years ago, maybe a little bit more than that, I went to the zoo, the Minnesota Zoo, with a friend of mine. And she goes, Chris, I love going to the zoo with you. I said, why? Because all the animals are out. And I looked at her and I'm like, well, duh. She goes, no, you don't get it. I'm like, what do you mean? She goes, a lot of times people go to the zoo and they don't see the animals. I'm like, what? That's just crazy. That's crazy talk. How do you go to the zoo and not see the animals? And she's like, no, really, they hide. It never dawned on me that the animals would never be out.
Yeah.
Never dawned on me. That's a foreign concept to me.
So they can sense that you can sense them?
I guess. I didn't know that until later in my life. And there was one where I was talking to the bears in Bismarck, and literally one of them came right up behind me and walked right behind me. And I'm like, hey, that's pretty cool. See, they're right there. They know. I have a video. I have a two-parter with the giraffes, And they don't always have the soul hitting messages. You know, sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. You never know what you're going to get. I had started to do these Periscope live things, and my friends are pushing me to do them again, or Facebook lives or whatever.
Yes, new thing please. Is.
where, yeah, I'd open it up and they could send questions over Facebook or whatever. And I'd talk to them, and I had talked to the lion, because Cecil the lion, when he was shot, that was one of the things. And the, it wasn't the lion that wanted to talk about it. It was the lioness that wanted to talk about it. So I have what a video of that. She said, quit pitying the lioness. We know what we're doing. We're far more in charge than you think. And Cecil planned that. Cecil was a part of the planning of what happened. And so was his brother. He came back to let his family know and to pass the torch on to his brother. His brother was never going to eat his cubs. You know, sometimes in the wild, a new male will eat the cubs and produce other ones that are theirs. That was never going to happen because that wasn't part of the plan. He was ready to go. He was tired and he was ready to go. And what better way when you're ready to go and to bring awareness to this crap than to have that happen?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I did a video on that. I believe that's on the Talk Positive on Facebook.
Okay. Okay.
I think it's been a while, so I have to look again. But then my friend who is helping me film, she, you know, I was like, any questions for the lion or lioness? And the lion is laying on his back, you know, up against the fence, right? He's just chill.
Yeah.
And we asked the lioness, you know, who are the, and I wasn't looking, I wasn't facing the lions. Who are the gossipers of the zoo? And the lion, the lioness goes, the penguins. And then no kidding, she looked over at the lion and then just kind of tilted her head and was like, and him. So, so we're like, so the penguins and the lion are the gossipers of the zoo, you know, you want to know what's going on? Talk to them.
The penguins. I don't know why that visual of them gossiping really makes me happy.
Giggles. Yeah. The polar bear was fun to talk to. And I've taken people to the zoo before, and usually what we do is we map it out, whoever shows up. Now we have to plan in advance because of COVID, but, you know, you come and you have what animal really draws you, because we're not going to get to all the animals you want to talk to necessarily. But if there's one that really, pops out at you, we focus on that. And then, you know, we try to get to them strategically, but also what question do you have for them? And yeah, you can ask them, do you like it here? Do you not? But come up with a question for yourself. You know, what do you see where my block is? Or, you know, we went once with the election when Trump won and it was chaotic. Right. And we're like, what the heck happened? It's so chaotic right now. And so I took a group to the zoo and we asked about the election.
Wow. What did they say?
That we were at a tipping point in history and it could go either way. And depending on which way the humanity chose, which in historical terms, we tend to choose the most difficult path for ourselves, it would go this way. And if we chose this other path, it would go this way. I had to laugh the morning after the election that year, because I asked who was going to, I asked my cats, I said, who's going to be president, Hillary or Trump? And they said, or no, I asked who was going to win the election. And Callie and Fizz both said, well, Hillary, of course. And I looked at them, I was like, okay. And I got up the next morning and I said, wait, you said that Hillary was going to be, or was going to win. And they looked at me and they said, she did, but you didn't ask who was going to be president.
Oh God.
Oh, thanks guys. Thanks a lot. You know,
so seems like such a cat move.
It is a cat move. It's the cat asshole move. Yeah. That also taught me to ask questions a little bit different. So
Yeah. And I just, I love your communication style with it. And I would say when I reach out to you and do a session, something that I, that I've talked about before is I love it how now I feel like with your confirmation, affirmation in past conversations, I can almost, I don't know, to the point where it's like, I feel way more confident in the messages mm-hmm. I'm giving and receiving. Mm-hmm. And that just, that helps me so much, like having you there when I'm like, I cannot figure this out. Like when the last time I called you, you said, mm-hmm. Roxanne had a new fairy and Tula didn't like that fairy. And it was like, I knew something was going on, but I would have never allowed like a fairy conversation to come. I'd be like, I'm making this shit up. But yeah. when you said it, I was like, that makes sense. Like I can tell by the way she's looking at her. It was almost like Tula was really focused on kind of like the side of Roxanne, because Tula's not that tall, but like almost right by one of her shoulders, as opposed to kind of like in her face. So yeah, that was just, it just brings a lot of peace. I am someone who wonders a lot about them and want them to have a good life and make sure that they know that like, this is your home, you know, they're rescues. I don't know. I'm sure they were traumatized before.
And that doesn't go away. I mean, I've done this for a long time and I still am like, really? That's what? Maybe I'm crazy.
What do you mean? What doesn't go away?
Like that self-doubt, you know, that questioning yourself.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
So that doesn't, you might become more confident as time goes on. I've always been like, I don't know. That's what I'm getting.
Yeah.
I could be wrong. I could be right.
Yeah. And I think that it's kind of discerning between when am I holding myself back and when am I kind of doing a little reality check, just because I am a human living in the third dimension. And the only one who can discern that is like us with our own personal.
And, you know, taking out the filters, that's the hardest part of communicating, is you got to take out your own filter.
And say more about that.
When you think it's about something, like you're like, I'm just sad when I go to the zoo. I don't like going to the zoo because the animals are sad. That's your filter. But what's theirs?
Oh.
A lot of times they're like, I don't have to hunt. I don't have to worry about predators. I'm safe. I don't know what it's like out there because I was born here. I don't know any different.
Oh. Yeah.
Caretakers love them. I much prefer going to Como. Even though the enclosures are smaller and the animals don't necessarily like the smaller enclosures, but I tell you what, those caregivers love them and they take care of them. I watched one caregiver playing with the giraffes.
Oh, wow.
He was like cleaning out the floor or something. And the baby giraffe wanted to play with the water stream and he did, you know, I mean, it was fun to watch that.
God, how cute. Yeah.
It was cute. And, you know, they do that. They care about the animals there. So yes, it's small, but ask them how they feel about that.
Yeah.
Were the giraffes like a bigger enclosure inside? Yeah. But what are they doing all day in the wild anyway? They're, you know, chomping on leaves.
Yeah. I really like that perspective. Have you, Chris, do you have like, I know you you are mom to cats.
Yeah.
But do you have an animal, and maybe it is cats, but I guess maybe a wild animal or a horse or something, like a bigger animal that you feel, I don't know, like you're sure just more able. Yeah. Like it, you're more feel more connected to them for whatever reason.
Yeah. When I'm doing like, power, like if I need to pull in strong energy, or my, I don't know if I want to call them power animals, but when I call in and need some support, it's always the elephant, the giraffe, and the lion. All three of them show up. Now if I'm really fighting some battle with, you know, weird entities, or I had a situation last year that it was so bizarre off the charts that that's where I'm like, maybe I'm a little crazy, but I kind of
see. Are you ready to talk about it?
Maybe. But I, you know, then I'll have, it's almost like I see myself in like a white tunic kind of a thing, like kind of like Katniss from that show. And then the entire animal kingdom is behind me and in front of me. It's like, we're ready to go to war. And it's like, bring it on. You're not getting past this. So,
oh, wow. That gives me chills.
Yeah. It's a pretty, pretty impressive army when I need that level of support. I mean, I had some dark people that I dealt with in the last couple of years, one person in particular. And that person doesn't work alone. And they were trying to project themselves into my house. And so the lion is like, I got this, you know.
Wow.
And attacked him. They were in cloaks, you know, with a hood, whatever. And the guy fell, and the hood part fell off. And I recognized the guy like about a week later, but like in real life, I'm like, what the, right?
Yeah.
And then there's another one, and then I put salt all the way around my home, including outside and the garage and whatnot. And then I did a white light tornado to swirl everything around and to hide my home from these people, you know, from these predators. Yeah. And what was interesting is I saw, you know, in your mind's eye, whatever, I saw them standing out on the street looking for my house, knowing it's supposed to be there. Like, I don't know, man. They're like, what just happened? Right. And yeah. I saw this massive blue whale swim, like in a circle, came around the corner of my house, swam through my backyard. I'm talking massive, right? It's in the air, right?
Yeah.
And it swims by these men and flicks its tail and sends these guys flying to I don't know where. And I just looked at it, I was like, thank you. And it's like, and you know, it kind of gave me a little nod of the head and went on its way. And I'm like, okay, I can't make that stuff up, I don't think. You know, it's
I talk about this on this podcast, but also more so with clients. Mm-hmm. Of like, yeah, you're probably, there's going to be a part of you that's trained to believe it's all, everything coming into to your intuition is, you know, suspect or not trustworthy. And so, yeah, I don't know. I feel like it's good to hear other, let me just say, Chris, it's good to hear other people talk like that.
Yeah. Yep. I hear you. I hear you.
Okay. So my other question for you is, if someone is, say they're listening to this and they're like, I've never really thought about like communicating with my pet. Mm-hmm. What are some kind of like first things to do? Is it just to get quiet and ask a question, or are there other things?
Animals. So some of the very basics are, you know, sit quietly, picture in your mind what you want the animal to do.
Yes. Yes. And then, Chris.
And then ask them to do it. You can either ask them out loud, you know, quietly, whatever, or you can ask them in your head, you know, you want to focus on the one that you're talking to. And then, if they do it, thank them.
Oh,
because that's a critical thing. If they do it and you're like, oh, that's so cool. Yeah. They're not there to do everything you say to do. They're not to be at our beck and call, you know, they're sentient beings. Now, sometimes they may look at you like, I don't know what you're doing. And it could be.
I get that look from Milt all the time.
Yeah. Like, dude, what? What do you
I'm
want?
I'm sorry. No.
Yeah. I'm not doing that. Ask me to do something else. You know, but like I had a dog that when I first learned, she would never come into the house when we called her until we went out on the deck and started going on the stairs. And then she'd come up the stairs and, you know, come in. And in class, I learned you picture what you want them to do. You run it through your head like a movie and then ask them to do it. And then when they do it, you thank them. I didn't have a problem with her after that.
Whoa.
Except for once. And she just went bonkers running around the shed. And, you know, I'm like, get up here. Right. I kind of lost my cool. And then she got, and it was winter. So it was cold. I'm like, yeah. Son of a problem child. Right. Whatever. But then she came in and I said, I know that, you know, that I know you, I can hear you and that, you know, what I'm saying. And I heard, here's what I heard. I heard, oh shit, I forgot. So, you know, they also have their own free choice. They're so used to tuning us out and they're so used to knowing that we don't pay attention. They're talking to us all the time. You know, if you go to the store and you're going to pick up just food and then you walk out with a bunch of treats and a toy and all that other stuff, you think that's you. That's not you. That's them. They're just with you at the store going, pick that, pick that, pick that, pick that. And you just
you're blowing their cover, Chris.
Yeah, I know I am. And they're like, dang it. But or well, you're that, gonna get a red that... ball, but you end up getting the blue, you know, you just they're yeah. talking to you constantly. It's whether or not you tune into them. So the biggest thing, you know, and a lot of times too, if you're yelling at a dog, they run away. What's the first thing you're thinking of? You're like, oh my gosh, they're running away. They're going to get hit by a car, right?
Yes.
And that's that. Going through your head while you're calling them back. They're confused. They're like, what do you want me to do? You're yelling at me. Why would I come to you if you're yelling at me? And the picture I'm seeing is I'm running away from you.
Yes. That has been a really big shift for me. Cause I am like, the moment I'm in love with something, I'm very anxiously attached, which yeah. I'm working on. But in that is like, I'm afraid this is going to be, you know, get killed in some way, whether it's a relationship or a person. Yeah. And that, you have shared that with me before. And it was like, oh, I'm going to picture in my mind what I want them to do. And so Chris, I have even like, spent time just walking around my backyard, trying to build that confidence in me. Mm-hmm. And I envision them walking around me or beside me, or at least like their gravitational pull is me. Like I mm-hmm. can kind of get them over. And that has been a lot of, just a lot of help in terms of, building my confidence.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have two more questions for you. I know we're up on the hour, but my first one is, I feel like, okay, so I have, it's not a part of myself I like, but I kind of have an irrational fear of like squirrels and frogs and ferrets, like little things. Mm-hmm. And the problem is like, I think they're cute, but they're always running at me. Like I was one time on a hike and had to have a friend like get a stick and like hold a squirrel back so I could like run down the trail. What is that? And how do I stop that? Because I freak out and then I'm like, God damn it. These people are seeing like the worst side of me where I'm like, ah,
ah. Yeah. You can, before you go on your hike or whatever, set a boundary. Is your open nature, you know, you're open to nature. You're open to that connection. They feel that.
Mm.
So they may want to come up and talk to you, you know, they get excited about that because you're open to them. They're just really, what I see from those particular, they're like friendly. They're like, hey,
I know.
You like talk to me, you know?
Yeah. Like the frogs in our backyard. I'm like, dude, get out of here. You have the whole backyard and you're like going for my foot. God damn it.
Yeah. Cause you're safe. Yeah. You're fine. You have a natural, well, you're also wanting to be a magnet, right? So careful with that.
What do you mean?
Because you were just talking about building your confidence and practicing that magnet with the animal.
Oh, I get it.
Yeah, they're not, the dogs aren't the only one that are feeling that magnet.
Oh, shit. Okay, yeah.
So you can even say to the frogs, I'm not magnetizing you. This is a practice with the dogs. You can even outright say that.
Okay. Oh, thank you. You're so good at breaking that stuff down.
A lot of times too, sometimes people put a lot more emphasis on this than I feel is necessary, but sometimes that particular animal has a message for you. So you, if you're seeing a lot of frogs, let's say you see it more than three times and you're like, man, I've seen so many frogs. Look up what the meaning of frog is.
Literally, right? A frog hedonistic village in my backyard. Fucking everywhere.
Yeah, you might want to see what they represent on a spiritual level.
Alrighty. And actually, I think they're toads, which it's all the same to me, but
They might have a slightly different spiritual meaning.
Yeah, I'm going to actually look that up. Okay, and then my last question for you is, I get this question more than you'd think maybe, but Chris, I know you don't claim to have all the capital A answers and I don't want you to, or I don't think we, any of us have that, right. But can we be, from the work you've done and the gifts you have and the knowledge you've gotten, can we be animals in past lives? Like, what do you think about that?
Oh yeah. And you know, there are some people of the belief that once you turn human, you'll never be an animal again. Or once you go to an animal, you'll never be human again. I don't personally see that. I see that they flip back and forth. And, you know, some perspective being, you know, I think once you become an animal, why would you want to be a human? Because let's face it, we're kind of dumb. We're not as evolved.
You want to come back as Roxanne's dog.
Yeah, right.
I feel like she'd be a really good mom to me.
Yeah. Yep. I'm gonna come back as this instead. I mean, and some animals, you know, you gotta, when we hit an animal or when we get so heartbroken when a kitten dies or a puppy dies, or you know, and yes, it, because we're human and it is sad. On the flip side to that, did that animal really want to be here? Sometimes they pop into a body and go, oops, not what I thought. I don't want to be here. See ya.
That makes me feel better about roadkill.
Yeah. I mean, like I had an experience when Callie was younger driving to North Dakota. And I heard her say, this is shortly after I learned community. She said, Mom, you want to slow up ahead. There's ice ahead. And I'm like, what? How do you know that? She's like, oh, Max told me. I'm like, Max told you? What is Max? What? And I said, how far ahead? She's like, close to Fargo. I'm like, well, it's always icy around Fargo, but okay, you know. And I said, how does Max know? Well, she's a deer, but she doesn't like being a deer. She wasn't a deer for very long, you know? So, yeah.
I ran over
a rabbit once. I was more mad than I was sad, which I'd never hit an animal before. I thought I would be devastated to hit one.
Yeah.
And I was so mad at this rabbit because I'm like, why did you do that? And I heard, well, I was sick and I knew that you'd be okay with it. You'd understand. I'm like, no.
Wow.
Do not go under my tire. Okay. I don't need to. I'm already dead. Yeah. I was like, spread it around. Not happy you did that, you know?
Yeah.
So it's not always what we think it is. Again, it's clearing that filter and truly hearing what the animal has to say.
Yeah. I really, and to practice, like to know, like, we can all do it just like we can all sing, you know, not everybody's Beyonce, but
right.
So in terms of like elementals, are we part elemental? Can we be an elf in a previous life? What are your thoughts on that?
Absolutely. You know, I believe, again, when we choose to come back, you know, we don't know what's beyond life, right? We have guesses. We talk to spirit. We talk to, you know, my whole perspective on the afterlife changed after learning all this stuff. You know, just moving from one to the other, one world to another. The heaven and hell thing, you know, I'm like, wait, what? That's not real. You know, there's a lot of things that I had to get over in that, but, and there's nothing wrong with believing that for the listeners. That's not what I'm saying. Yeah. But we can choose to come back and experience life different ways. And a lot of people were like, I know one woman, she had to have been a fairy in a past life because she's still a fairy now. You know, I mean, she's just everything fairy and she's very pixie like, you know, maybe she was a pixie or yeah. I've been told I have a lot of fairy and the gnomes love me as well. I had a little gnome hang out in my backseat of my car several years ago. I met with a woman that specialized in talking to fairies and woodland elementals. And she said they came from all over the place to, you know, for this meeting. She's like, this room is full.
Whoa.
They're here to support you. And I'm like, okay. Yeah. Well, one of them decided to hang out in my back seat of my car for a little while before he went home.
Stalker, you know? Gnome.
Yeah. A little gnome. Well, he was cute. He was fine. Not a big deal. He just wanted to hang out for a little bit before he went home. But they trek long distances too. And yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, Chris, this was so good. I know that I'm going to have, I know that people are going to have questions for me, for you, but everybody, if you are on the fence, if you have a dog that's passed away, if you have any questions about your pet, like the amount of information, Chris, and peace that I've gotten from any of our phone calls is it's just beyond. So I can't stress it enough. Go look up Chris. And Chris, again, thanks so much for being here and we will see you next time. There it is. That is our episode today. An interesting conversation. It always is when I talk to Chris. Take anything that makes you feel better about your life, about your situation, whatever that may be, and just leave the rest. And thank you so much for being here, being open to the power of our past lives and our connection to the divine and our knowledge about ourselves. Until next time, take care.